Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Case Against the Fed is a concise work of Austrian economics and libertarian political economy by Murray N. Rothbard. First published in 1994, it examines the origins, structure, and consequences of the United States Federal Reserve System, while extending its critique to central banking and fractional reserve banking more broadly. Rothbard combines a theoretical account of money with an institutional history of banking policy and political influence. His central contention is that monetary expansion, rather than an unavoidable feature of market economies, is produced through the banking system and enabled by the central bank. From this premise, he argues that inflation, credit-driven booms, and subsequent downturns are connected to the Federal Reserve's powers. The book is openly argumentative rather than a neutral survey. It presents Rothbard's case for abolishing the Federal Reserve and replacing fiat monetary management with a commodity-based monetary order, principally gold, and more market-based banking arrangements. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, money originates as a market commodity, not a government creation. Rothbard begins with a foundational Austrian claim: money becomes money through exchange, not through official declaration. In his account, people select widely marketable commodities as media of exchange because direct barter is costly and inconvenient. Historically, precious metals became prominent because they were durable, divisible, and relatively easy to verify. This starting point matters because it challenges the idea that money derives its value primarily from a government decree or a central bank's policy. Rothbard treats the purchasing power of money as rooted in its prior use and acceptability in exchange. He therefore views a commodity standard as a continuation of market processes rather than a technical constraint imposed from outside the economy. The argument also frames his objection to fiat money. When money is detached from redemption in a commodity, its quantity can be expanded by institutions with legal privileges. Rothbard maintains that this changes the character of monetary governance decisions about the supply of money become political and administrative rather than disciplined by redemption obligations. Critics may dispute whether commodity money is necessary for stable modern economies, but the book clearly establishes why Rothbard sees the historical origin of money as essential to evaluating the legitimacy and effects of central banking. Secondly, fractional reserve banking and the mechanism of monetary expansion. A central mechanism in the book is fractional reserve banking. Rothbard describes how banks that hold deposited money can issue claims or extend loans beyond the cash reserves immediately available for redemption. In his analysis, this practice expands the effective supply of money because bank deposits and notes function as media of exchange alongside physical currency. The immediate recipients of newly created credit can spend before prices have fully adjusted, while later recipients confront altered prices and purchasing power. Rothbard interprets this uneven process as a redistribution rather than a neutral increase in liquidity. He also argues that fractional reserve institutions are vulnerable to runs when customers seek redemption simultaneously, since not all claims can be honored at once. Central banking, in his view, does not eliminate this structural problem. It coordinates, protects, and enlarges the system through reserve support and lender of last resort functions. This is a notably uncompromising position. Many economists regard fractional reserve banking, deposit insurance, supervision, and central bank liquidity facilities as workable elements of a modern financial system. Rothbard instead treats money creation through unmatched claims as the source of instability and as an institutional privilege that a genuinely free market would not sustain. Thirdly, the Federal Reserve as a political product of banking interests. Rothbard does not present the Federal Reserve solely as an economic institution designed by detached experts. He places its creation within late 19th and early 20th century conflicts over banking concentration, financial reform, and political power. The book emphasizes the role that leading financial interests, especially the House of Morgan, played in debates that culminated in the Federal Reserve Act. Rothbard's broader point is that centralization was attractive to large banks because it could reduce competitive pressures, furnish coordinated support during crises, and give influential institutions greater leverage over monetary arrangements. He further discusses shifts in financial influence during the New Deal era, when Rockefeller-associated interests became more prominent. This historical focus distinguishes the work from textbooks that concentrate on the Federal Reserve's formal mandates, instruments, and governance structure. Rothbard asks who gained from institutional change, not only what public problem the change was said to solve. The approach is polemical and reflects his libertarian framework, so readers should distinguish documented institutional history from his conclusions about motive and intent. Still, the political economy lens is valuable. It directs attention to the distributional consequences of regulation, the relationship between finance and government, and the possibility that reform can serve organized interests as well as stated public goals. Fourthly, inflation as money supply growth rather than rising prices alone. Rothbard uses inflation in a narrower and more causal sense than everyday discussion often does. For him, inflation is an increase in the quantity of money and bank credit, while broad increases in consumer prices are a likely consequence rather than the definition itself. This distinction supports his claim that the Federal Reserve cannot simply be an institution that fights inflation when it possesses the power to expand bank reserves and influence credit conditions. He argues that price movements can also reflect changes in productivity, demand, supply disruptions, or relative preferences, whereas monetary expansion affects the purchasing power of money across the economy over time. The book also treats monetary inflation as a hidden transfer. New money enters through particular channels, so borrowers, banks, and early receivers may buy goods and assets before prices rise more generally. Those on fixed incomes or whose earnings adjust later can lose purchasing power. Rothbard connects this process to government finance as well, arguing that fiat money makes it easier to fund spending without explicit taxation. This analysis provides a clear conceptual framework for readers evaluating monetary policy claims. It remains controversial because mainstream economists often define inflation through sustained price increases and argue that central banks can offset shocks or stabilize demand. Rothbard rejects that confidence in discretionary monetary management. Lastly, credit-driven business cycles and the case for abolition. The book culminates in an Austrian account of the business cycle. Rothbard argues that credit expansion pushed below market-determined conditions can encourage investments and production plans that appear profitable only while easy credit. Continues. As the effects of expansion spread through the economy, resource constraints, changing prices, and rising costs reveal conflicts among those plans. The downturn is therefore interpreted not as an inexplicable market failure, but as the corrective phase following a credit-induced boom. Attempts to postpone adjustment through further monetary expansion, Rothbard contends, risk extending distortions and intensifying later losses. On this basis, his proposed reform is not a revised Federal Reserve mandate or a more rule-bound central bank. He calls for abolition of the Federal Reserve, an end to its privileged role in money creation, and a return to commodity-based money, especially gold. He expects a harder monetary framework to restrain inflationary finance and limit politically directed credit. This conclusion is far outside mainstream policy consensus, which generally treats an independent central bank as necessary for payment stability, crisis response, and inflation control. Yet Rothbard's remedy falls directly from his premises if central banking institutionalizes monetary inflation and amplifies cycles. Improving its management cannot solve the underlying problem. The book is most useful when read as a coherent, radical alternative to conventional monetary policy. In conclusion, the case against the Fed is best suited to readers who want a forceful Austrian and libertarian interpretation of money, banking, and Federal Reserve history. Students of economics, history, public policy, and political economy can benefit from its effort to connect abstract monetary theory with institutional incentives and the distribution of power. Readers who already favor central banking will also find value in confronting a systematic challenge to assumptions that are often treated as settled, including the usefulness of discretionary monetary policy, lender of last resort functions, and fiat currency. Its practical benefit lies less in offering a step-by-step policy program for current institutions than in sharpening the questions. Readers ask who creates money, through what mechanisms, who receives it first, and what incentives shape monetary reform. Rothbard stands out from many books on the Federal Reserve because he does not merely criticize particular decisions, chairpersons, or crises. He argues that the institution's defects arise from its basic authority to coordinate credit expansion and operate outside commodity redemption. The book is unapologetically ideological, and its historical interpretations and policy prescriptions should be read alongside mainstream monetary scholarship and competing accounts of financial crises. Even so, its compact integration of Austrian theory, banking history, and political critique makes it a distinctive foundational text in arguments for sound money and the abolition of central banking. If you would like to support Murray N. Rothbard, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.